Welcome. My name is Asam Stolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research.
Hello and welcome to the UEG Journal podcast. I am Tarık Kani and I am trainee editor of UEG Journal. Today, Dr. Anouk Wienans from Netherlands will be with us to talk about their article. She is the corresponding author of the article entitled Smoking and Colorectal Neoplasia in Patients with Inflammatory Bowel Disease, Dose-Effect Relationship, which was published on September 2023 in UEG Journal. So, dear Dr. Wienans, welcome to the UEG Journal podcast again. I'm really happy to have you in here with me today. Thank you very much for joining us. So, first, please introduce yourself and the team to us.
Thank you for the invitation to talk about our recent work. So my name is Anouk Wienans and I'm a research fellow at the University Medical Center in Utrecht in the Netherlands. And my direct supervisor is Bas Oldenburg, and he is a professor in gastroenterology with a focus on IBD. And this prospective multi-center study was conducted in four academic hospitals in the Netherlands. And it was based on a collaborative research effort from the Dutch Initiative on Crohn and Colitis. And this is a large research consortium in which most IBD centers in the Netherlands participate. So that is the team what we have conducted the research with.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, Anouk, colorectal neoplasia is one of the most treating events for patients and for physicians in IBD. However, conducting a prospective study, identifying a risk factor for malignancy are even harder to study and need a great effort, as you know. So, what was your motivation to work on this topic?
We know that one of the most feared complications of IBD is colorectal cancer. And the colorectal cancer risk in patients with IBD is about twice as high, or with colonic IBD, is about twice as high as the risk in the general population. And most evidence on colorectal cancer in IBD is based on retrospective data, so particularly cohort and case control studies. And therefore, this prospective study design, the study we conducted, is a unique and large cohort in this research field. And this prospective design also enabled us specifically to evaluate the impact of smoking and the relation with colorectal neoplasia, because most retrospective studies, the gathering, the data collection of smoking is especially hard in retrospective study designs. And we know that prior studies showed conflicting results regarding the impact of smoking on colorectal neoplasia risk in IBD. And it's also interesting, of course, to evaluated potential different impact on Crohn's disease and UC patients and the impact of smoking on the disease courses. Yeah.
Thank you very much. In your study, some of the colonoscopies was performed by chromoendoscopy and some others were performed with the white light endoscopy. Do you think this difference was cause a misdiagnosis and creating a bias?
In our study, we included nearly 600 patients and almost 1,700 surveillance colonoscopies were performed, and all the surveillance colonoscopies were performed using high-definition endoscopes, and two-thirds of the colonoscopies were performed using chromoendoscopy. And what we know from a recent meta-analysis from Risandi in 2020, that was a meta-analysis on randomized controlled trials comparing chromoendoscopy and white light endoscopy with regard to neoplasia detection rate, and they did not find a difference in neoplasia detection rates. So based on these findings, and these findings are confirmed in other meta-analysis, I do not believe that a bias was created by misdiagnosis of CRN by the different techniques we used. Yeah. And so especially maybe of interest, we are currently analyzing results from our own randomized controlled trial. It is called the Helios study, and this is a study in four academic hospitals in the Netherlands, and we are looking at chromoendoscopy, at white light endoscopy using high-definition endoscopes with segmental reinspection. So we see each colon segment twice, and the third technique we are evaluating is single-pass white light endoscopy, so just a normal colonoscopy. And we are comparing these three techniques in 600 patients. But the results, we are analyzing it currently. So hopefully we can update you soon.
Thank you, Anuk. Also, you stated the short follow-up period as a limitation in your article. Why do you think a 10-year study period is short for your study?
Yeah, the fact is we recruited patients between 2011 and 2017. And then these patients, after inclusion, entered the prospective follow-up period of 5 years. And in total, 500 patients provided follow-up data with a median follow-up duration of 5 years. So patients could enter into 2011 and then be followed up for 5 years, so until 2017. But some patients were included at 2017 and then followed up. And it 5 years is also quite a long period for a prospective study. But we also know that events of colorectal neoplasia, and specifically advanced colorectal neoplasia, so high-grade dysplasia or colorectal cancer, are rare. And even in this high-risk population, so you need a long follow-up period and a large amount of patients. So that leads to some uncertainty in our results. But still, data from this study are derived from one of the largest and most carefully conducted prospective surveillance cohort studies in IBD published so far.
For sure, it's always better to follow up as long as possible. And you still think it is a short period according to your design, right?
Yes, I think, of course, colorectal neoplasia is also an endpoint of interest. But the impact of advanced colorectal neoplasia is, that's the endpoint we are very interested in, also in relation to surveillance colonoscopies. So I think it provides information, but I think if we would have the ideal study design, then we would include more patients and follow them for a longer period, and ideally follow them from the start of surveillance until the end, so that we have very clean data. So maybe in the future we can do such things.
Then it means you're not looking for the good, you're looking for the best, right? Mm-hmm. It's great to hear that.
That's true.
Could you please summarize your findings first, then please tell us your future perspectives of your topic?
So in this multi-center prospective cohort study, we found that an increase in PEC years is associated with a higher risk of recurrent colorectal neoplasia in patients with IBD. And this effect is independent of other established risk factors for colorectal neoplasia. And this clear dose relationship underscores that smoking affects the risk of colorectal neoplasia in patients with IBD. And these findings are in line with studies from the non-IBD population, in which also an increased amount of PEC years is associated with a higher risk of sporadic adenomas or sporadic colorectal cancer. And for future perspectives, I think we already know from a lot of literature that smoking is associated with adverse health outcomes, such as cardiovascular events and so on. So, yeah, this is additional evidence to quit smoking, but yeah, we already knew the healthcare effects of smoking. But in my opinion, this study gives us more insights on which IBD patients are at risk to develop colorectal neoplasia, which are not. And this might in the future help to identify them better. And also another topic of interest for more lab-oriented orientated research is to study the impact of smoking on the carcinogenesis. So this is all the study we are discussing today is epidemical research. But we know from the general population that the impact of smoking on the carcinogenesis is probably caused by microsatellite instability rather than the chromosomal instability pathway. And it would be interesting to see how the carcinogenesis and smoking impacts colitis-associated CRN. Yeah.
Anuk, we are currently a clinical fellow in gastroenterology, and it means you are almost at the beginning of your career. What did you learn from the study as an early career gastroenterologist, and also what were the challenges for you?
Yeah, I think what I learned is the effort it takes to conduct a prospective study this large and for a longer time period, the effort we need from gastroenterologists in the field, and we were lucky to have these participating centers that were really helpful in the study. But that is what I learned, and I learned that, from my opinion, during research with IBD patients, they are very eager to participate in trials and to help the research further in, to know more about their disease and to learn about their opinion. So that's what I think I learned. And also the statistical analysis part, which is, useful, for my own knowledge to be able to read articles more easily.
So I think it was an exciting experience for you, right? So you are planning to do more in future, right?
I think it is. I'm still working on the PhD. And then looking forward to doing more research in various fields, I think. But we will see what the future will bring.
And now we are at the end. Would you like to say anything to our listeners at last?
Thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast. And I hope to see you in the research fields of the gastroenterology.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Anik.
We hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you and see you again.